In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Where did you find yourself in this story today? Did you identify more with the father, the elder son, or the younger son? The story we just heard is one of the most familiar in our scriptures. And if you have heard this story over the years, as many of you have, it is likely that at some point you have identified with the elder son, another point with the younger son, and perhaps also at some point with the father. It is the genius of Jesus' teaching that there is always something there for us each time we hear it, if we pay attention and if we are honest with ourselves. The story is often titled The Prodigal Son, but there are other titles for this story: The Generous Father, The Self-Righteous Elder Brother, or, as one commentator more gently and generously put it, The Lament of the Responsible Child. I hear you get that. We hear this story in Lent. It only comes in our lectionary during Lent, when our call is to deepen our relationship with God by self-examination and repentance. And so we begin first with the younger son, who is the repentant in this story. The younger son has completely disregarded the customs and the laws of his time. In Jesus' time, the father would have divided his property among his two sons only when he was no longer able to manage it himself. And the expectation was then, in that culture, that the sons would manage the property responsibly and take care of the father in his old age. So by asking for and taking his share of the inheritance before it is time, he's already dishonored his father and jeopardized the family's security. That would be bad enough in Jesus' time for those hearing this parable to put the younger son on the bad list. Even worse, then, is the fact that the younger son completely loses it all by foolish, selfish choices, by seeking only after his own pleasure. And disaster hits not only for him, but for that entire country. He really hits bottom. Not only is he starving, but he does something that no observant Jewish person would choose to do. He makes himself unclean by Jewish law by working with things that are considered unclean in their tradition. In this case, by taking a job slopping the pigs. So he's really hit bottom. And at the bottom, as it is often the case, he finally sees clearly. He comes to himself, Luke says. He can look back at how he got into this mess and think about how he might get out. His sins are many, and he knows it. Total selfishness, gluttony, ingratitude, and injustice, to name a few. He has not honored his father. So he decides to go back to his father and beg to be allowed to work as a servant, where at least he will be fed. Now we turn to the father. The father was watching. The father was always watching for his lost child to return home. And so when his son is still far off on the road, he runs out to meet him. He showers him with affection. He doesn't even listen to the son's confession. There's no test of the truth of his son's repentance. There is no penalty for the horrible wrongs he has done. Instead, the father restores the son to his place in the family with full honor. He calls for the best robe and a ring and a great party to celebrate his return. I don't have to tell you, do I, how uncharacteristic this father's behavior is, how no father in that time would have acted that way, how folks in Jesus' time would have been completely shocked by this outrageously merciful and generous behavior, how we may also be shocked. And that takes us to the elder brother. Shocked was putting it mildly for him. He was out working on the land, as he always did. He was a good worker, a loyal son, a trustworthy partner to his father. He followed all the rules, and yet he still didn't get it. And yet he also sinned in this story just as much as the younger son. His sin was pride. He was self-righteous and judgmental. How could his father put on a great feast for his younger brother who has behaved so badly? Surely he deserved such a feast, not his brother. And the elder son was angry, and he held on to his anger, and he refused to enter the banquet. He refuses to rejoice with his father. He refuses to be reconciled to his brother. And that refusal also in that culture would bring shame on the family. So Jesus, as he told this parable, knew that the hearers would get it, that both sons in the story are guilty of transgressions against their father, that neither one was able to receive the grace and the love that was offered from the very beginning. The younger son just ran off, and the elder son worked, but without a sense of joy and love, he didn't get it either. Neither one of them got it. And so Jesus is speaking to all of us, to those who know their own sin and their need for repentance, and those who are self-righteous and think that they are more deserving of God's love than those other people who do such and such, whatever such and such might be to you. And I think if we are really honest, most of us have been in both of these camps, sometimes at the same time. Sometimes we are aware of our own need for repentance, and sometimes we look down on other people, seeing ourselves as more worthy of God's love. What the father wants is for the two sons to be reconciled. What the father wants is for the unity of the human family. What the Father wants is for both sons to know his unbounded, unconditional, never-ending love for them both. And Jesus leaves the parable open. We don't know what the older son does. So take heart on this fourth Sunday of Lent. God embraces us all with all of our faults, known and unknown, acknowledged and unacknowledged. I love this quote from the Jesuit mystic Teilhard de Chardin, which speaks of our human nature and our faults, and also God's great mercy. He says this: we already exist, but we are not complete. We cannot avoid risks. Like the artist who uses the fault in the stone to produce a more exquisite line, God, without sparing us the partial deaths nor the final death, which form an essential part of our lives, God transfigures us and our experiences by integrating both in a better plan, provided we lovingly trust in him. Not only our unavoidable ills, but our faults, even our most deliberate ones, can be embraced in that transformation, provided always we repent of them. Not everything is immediately good to those who seek God, but everything is capable of becoming good. So as the parable is left open, we are left with these questions. Where do you find yourself in this story today? And what is God calling you to do in response to his unfathomable, all-encompassing love?